unheardnerd.com.
If you have money, you can buy anything.
Oh shit, it's the mighty one kid. That superhero swagger gentleman just popping the lid. Got a Fibonacci sequence for your face. Looking like the numbers from Lost in Space. Or is it lost? John, Jack, Desmond, Hurley, man of faith. Science, surely not exactly skinny, but not burly. There's a reason I'm the unheard nerd. Too busy getting pixelated.
Welcome to the Unheard Nerd Podcast, episode 28. Do visit our brand new website. It's theunheardnerd.com. All new, all sparkly and ready for you to peruse. Hope it's an improvement on the old one. Check us out on Twitter. It's at theunheardnerd. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/theunheardnerd. And find us on Google Plus. Now this week, I am joined by a special guest, one of Orcs.tv's seven Canadian rappers you need to hear. I was joined quite literally across time and space by the one and only More or Less. Enjoy the show.
Let's sing some songs, songs about going places.
It all starts when the tune comes on. It gets crazy if I already know the song. Appealing sound waves get caught by all. The hairs in my ears and fears all dissolve. Worries disappear, get replaced by strong. Urges to nurture major head on. Along with sing-alongs that I find in a club. But I'm scaring people cause I'm doing it on a bus. And I know I got to find some kind of control. But how do you stop something connected to your soul? You just can't. So reverse that energy. It's negative, sedative to your whole cap for thinking. Turning people into shrinking vines. My shit, that which despises, unoriginal, non-creative. Nothing scares me more than the following statement. I'm not really into music. Whatever I hear is fine with me. I think, who's this person throwing the life away? Like politicians hoping what they might say ends up in a history book. I'm like, nah, unless they wage war right in our broad, it ain't really going to happen. They should stick to blaming rapping for society's ills. Because my sense is taking anxiety pills when you're not already stressed. But the voice in my head has said, if tunes can't force you to chill, how can tunes force you to build instead? I don't have the answer to that yet. No, I'm still trying to win a personal bet, yeah, that I can move you without rhymes that are lame. Make you believe I fly without a plane and take off on stage and launch these words at you with energy from a beat. So I move you just like it moves me. Music is the fuel that I need to take off on songs just like these. So words can get heard by peeps overseas through vinyl, MP3s, and CDs. Music is the fuel that I need to take off and still stay grounded in that thing called the underground, except that noun is way overplayed and my thoughts are founded in original C's. Cause you see me clowning around on a mic, don't take it as a joke, I ain't no like Rakim, take my body rocking seriously. Everyone moves side to side, it shows energy gets stowed, so when it's time I'm like a jet propelled beat, girl I'm blazing. Rock money mayhem on mics amazing, my big bang theory, yep. You can't get near the yep. Thoughts that I got with solid rock like patience. Tunes be my food if I am not mistaken. Need food like doom and I'm hunting like craving. Yeah. For jams that can have that chemical reaction. Nuclear won't match and be a gas replacement. Take off all stage and launch these words at you with energy from a beat. So I move you just like it moves me. Music is the fuel that I need to take off on songs just like these. So words can get heard by peeps overseas. Vinyl, MP3s, and CDs. Music is the fuel that I need to take off and take you with me. Software, hardware, and circuitry. To clap in your hands and stomp in your feet. Music is the fuel that I need to take off.
Joining me on the show this time is More or Less from Canada, Toronto, from London, England. Welcome to the show. Les, shall I say Les or is it Less?
Oh, you can say Les. It's all right. My parents are West Indian, so it's like that. It's a similar vibe, right, because of a bit of British culture involved. So, yeah, Les is fine. I mean, it's all good.
It always confuses me and it bugs me a little bit because I never really knew. I know everyone says More or Less.
Yeah, you never quite get the pun, right?
So More or Less, I'm very happy to have you on the show, sir, and somebody who's been on our list for a while. Damn that Nerdcore Meow show for getting you first, but They're second rate amateurs, really. So I think we can do better than that. And we cross listenership, and I'm sure people will enjoy listening to you again on our show. So thank you for that. You've just released the Doctor Who EP, Bigger on the Inside, and then there's another part of the title there, which is a Time Traveler's Mixtape. We'll talk a bit about that later. But I want to get to know you a little bit as well, a little bit about your backgrounds, your past, and your introduction to hip hop. So you've already mentioned your heritage, where your parents come from. So what's your upbringing? Where were you born? Where were you brought up? Where were you raised?
Oh well, I'm a born and raised Torontonian. Like, I mean, I've lived in a suburb called Scarborough for my formative teen years, and have siblings. I have an older brother, younger sister, and just basically got into the whole music thing through my brother to start, to be honest. I mean, he's a DJ himself. He plays mostly house music. And produces. That's his thing. But we started as most DJs would in the 90s, start with playing a variety of music. Like, I learned to DJ, like, I've been in front of turntables, I should say, since I was 13. So wow. I've had like for me, turntables are a common household item, that's a regular thing for me.
That's good. And what sort of music, I mean, you say you played a variety of music, but what sort of music influenced you early on? What were you into?
Oh, well, it was from going to all ages clubs in Toronto. So basically clubs that were, catering to a crowd younger than the legal drinking age. And so I was going to a bunch of stuff there and listening to a whole variety of music. So, house music, hip hop, reggae, R&B, just a combination of things. But I mean, by far, hip hop was the bigger influence, my parents, when I was younger, just being Guyanese, listened to a lot of Soca. So there was not really so much an influence from them in that respect, but they also, played some other music as well. Like, they played a variety, on top of the Soca. So there was disco as well as some old soul records and stuff. Like, I mean, somehow, like, they don't seem, my parents somehow don't seem as cool anymore as they used to, but they somehow managed to collect like almost every single 45 that was released to James Brown.
That's
so
cool.
So I pre-digital era, I held on to those, very, very carefully. I knew what gold I had in my hands. So.
Yeah, knew their worth. My parents also have a collection of all the classic Beatles and stuff like that, locked away in record boxes. But one day I'll get to delve through them and find out what gold's in there. And so, hip hop obviously has been an influence from early on. What artists have influenced you, as you've grown up?
Oh man, where to even begin? Like I would play Tribe Called Quest 12 inches, like back to back. Like, I remember getting an older copy of Scenario, and just flipping it, and that Scenario 12 inch with the remix was dope. Like, to this day, for me, the remix of 93 Till Infinity is my jam out of that 12 inch. Like. I know that everyone is, like, for everyone else, that song that's on the album, 93 Till Infinity, is the one that everybody knows is into. But it's, for me, it's that remix, that the beat that was like, that had me captivated. So a lot of underground stuff, a lot of local underground Toronto hip hop as well. So, big ups to Maestro Fresh West, who I don't even know personally, but big ups to him anyway. Like Mishy Me, cats that started early things, setting things off early on after that. So we're talking like Cardinal Official, Socrates, all the members of the Circle, which is their group, so to speak. Choclair from that group, Marvel, Solitaire. Who else? Trying to think. Tara Chase. Big ups to Tara Chase, who we keep trying to. we keep trying to meet up and chat about things and never get the chance, and that's unfortunate. But I don't know, just a lot of underground stuff that I came up on. You know, Del the Funky Homo Sapien, I mean, a big influence for me, and just how I, you know, do my thing and deliver lyrics and that kind of stuff.
And bruschetta, and it's rare to get a decent piece of bread. So you know where we're coming from. Drums and some scratches get active. But hold on to your drink so it's not splashing your fashion. We come to hang with fly sorts of language. Some come with baggage. Obedience to asking for, but we ignore that cheese. You're free, lads, to do what you want, but your limbs will be sad. Like an end of workout, they deserve. It's absurd that you wanna fight the urge to get stirred. Song as words, cats. So all I hear is nerd. It's a nerd that'll take the compliment, though. Cause it used to throw it matter when you heard that. Jam that didn't impress. You know why? Cause the music just wasn't that fresh. The flow dry. As for cuts, they said, why bother? So I drop rip rap to stop the erosion of water. People stay like they jog in place. When we get on, it's not a waste. Rip rap on your shores, you shall not escape. Uncle Fest, more or less, and fresh kills come to rock. When we get on, we jock your space. Backyard or proper stage. Rip rap on your shores, you shall not escape. Uncle Fest, more or less, and fresh kills come to rock. Situation that's got me pissed is when some of y'all straight out resist the notion that rap is motion. Activating at locations, you can bet a dedication is to playing syncopation. You can set a clock to. That's a hot tune, keep you coming back on time. When drums align, we simply move minds, move bodies, move chairs. When we rock live, rock parties, rock chair. That will get in your face when you mosh the pit. Now I'm not begging for you all to flip out, at least not right away. Dudes all pay to get out the kinks and get out my pay to where my mouth exists. No gold teeth, just gold plate. We're such a dish, rock hot. It's stoneware at 1200 degrees. So the steez that you see is making people jam. I think the keys to be the people's champ. When we get on, it's not a waste. Rip rap on your shores, you shall not escape. Uncle Fest, more or less, and fresh kills come to rock. When we get on, we jock your space. Backyard or proper stage. Rip rap on your shores, you shall not escape. Uncle Fest, more or less, and fresh kills come to. It's all about energy. Sending me that great Senate, please. Fast and stacks right back like tennis P. R.O.'s in it, be a smash when we get to see 100 legs moving in unison like a centipede. Love the move when it's me, boy, like weapons D. Forward in dance, battle, graph, rap, and the DJ has a tendency to rock, knots, plenty key. Taking out you suckers even when the numbers 10 to 3. Keep your sword of Democles, don't want Hennessy. We got better dreams, not on jealousy. You talk menacy, that's not tempting me to stop any time with the rhyme that I'm lending you. Poetry and a beat, dialogue ending beef. That's rap's legacy, catch cats telling me. That ain't the truth, my moves to start yelling beef. Into a groove, so two fingers, then it's peace. People stay like they jog in place. When we get on, it's not a waste. Rip rap on your shores, you shall not escape. Uncle Fest, more or less, and fresh kills come to rock. When we get on, we jock your space. Backyard or proper stage. Rip rap on your shores, you shall not escape. Uncle Fest, more or less, and fresh kills come to rock.
In the music you make, you are involved in the music making side, production, the cuts, and also obviously you're a lyricist. What do you listen to when you're listening to music? What stands out the most? Are you listening to the beat or are you listening to the lyrics?
It's a variety of things. I mean, it really is both items. Like music is definitely important. Like it will be kind of beats out the lyrics, but lyrics to me are still important, man, because there are a lot of people out there rapping right now that get away with things that, as far as I'm concerned, they should not get away with. Like, really, you know, just lyricism, I know it sounds corny, like people just kind of go, oh yeah, yeah, rappers always, like older rappers always complaining about lyrics and whatever, but like for me, man, it's like lyrics are key and just as important as the music, and I just feel like some people really need to step their game up and not slide by just on the quality of the music alone.
Well, your delivery often is very intricate. There's a lot of, you know, you fit in a lot of syllables, but and it fits. It always fits. You know, there's never anything clunky about your delivery. It's very smooth. Very, you know, it flows really well. You know, is that something you've really had to work on? Is that something you spend a lot of time practicing?
Thanks, man. It's something that I'm still always practicing, like working on, you know, and practicing because I remember reading once, B.I.G. when he was still around, said that rap is something that basically you got to work on every day. Like it's an everyday thing, whether it's actually writing something out and reciting it or just having it in your head. And for me, I feel like that's the same deal. Like a thesaurus is always close by and handy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, and well, that's kind of indicative of what comes across in your music and your lyrics. You say a thesaurus is always close at hand, and I'm sure that's part of a rapper's toolkit. But you seem to combine clever lyrics, a lot of intelligence that goes into your lyrics, and hear you rapping, and you stand out. You absolutely stand out. I mean, in the back burner stuff, things that you say just made me go whoa, and yeah, that's really clever. So I mean, you're heavily associated with the nerd rap scene, the nerdcore scene. Are you happy to be in that genre, or do you think you transcend that into other areas?
I feel like it's all good. I mean, I feel like it was a bit of an accident to fall into that, but I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it's just the way things are now with rap, in my opinion, is a very interesting scenario because it's become over time very compartmentalized. And I don't necessarily think that's specifically rap's fault. I feel like it's just kind of the nature of things and just how like pop culture in itself has developed over time, you know, that there could be so many subgenres and people finding a voice in some sort of direction that becomes very specific, you know, where in the past somebody doing what I'm doing wouldn't be allowed to even, you know, come out. Like people wouldn't even want to consider it like rap music, but it, now because there's so much subgenreing and everything, I'm gonna use that word, it's mine, subgenreing.
I like it.
Now it's okay. Like all of a sudden, people can feel better about liking weird stuff, you know. And I don't know. I just feel like more than anything, if there was a category for weird, I suppose I would apply to some extent, you know, because it's such a eclectic combination of from what you hear otherwise these days of you know, basically some straight up boom bap plus, you know, some hard working lyricism. I hope that's what people would take away from it, or at least think, you know, that there was some thought put into it. If that's the case, you know, like yourself, then I appreciate that, you know, because that means I'm getting to accomplish, you know, what I want to do. But I mean, generally speaking, I don't really care or mind like who wants to listen to it. Whatever they want to hear from me is cool, and the fact that people are still appreciating what I'm doing, you know, this many projects in, you know, is great. So I, you know, the more the merrier. Whatever, nerd rap is not a term that offends me.
It's interesting, like, you describe, or you not pigeonhole, but label yourself as a little bit more on the weird side rather than the nerdy side. I remember, I'm sure I saw it on Twitter once. I can't remember who posted it, but somebody said that More or Less is the biggest nerd there is, one of the biggest nerds they know. And it may have been like Bergie or someone like that.
It was Jesse Dangerously.
Oh, was it?
He's trying to like... I don't know. He's just trying to mess with people's heads. I don't know. He and I have this joking thing going on just about like who could possibly be nerdier. But it's because he recognizes true skill and truth and beauty, because I actually like Doctor Who. People have come up to me and said, you know, like, what's up with this Doctor Who thing? And you know, and also previous albums, I've talked about brunch or food or whatever, and they're like, what's up with this? And I've just said to them straightforwardly, I just like it. They're just like, I don't know what to do with that information. It's like, well, you know, I'm not going to rap about guns. So, you know, this is what I like. This is what I want to talk about. So,
yeah, well, I was going to come on to that. I mean, I know you like two things. You like Doctor Who and you like brunch. Explain the brunch thing.
Well, I like brunch.
You just said it, of course. was it breakfast is too early, lunch is too late?
This is too early, man. Lunch is fine, but lunch doesn't have the same impact because in a lot of cases you can't get eggs with lunch. That has to end up being, it ends up being delivered to you in a menu as like a all-day breakfast, right? That like people kind of get overjoyed about. They're like, all-day breakfast, so I can have eggs at any time, because there's a stigma, I think, across the idea of having breakfast or having eggs, you know, at other breakfast foods at any time of the day, right? Other people that I know just they're not bound by these rules, so they will have cereal in the middle of the afternoon if they feel like that's what they want to eat, right?
Right.
Well, I appreciate the concept of brunch because it's like the ability to have breakfast foods, or what are traditionally considered breakfast foods, at a time of the day that isn't considered breakfast and is still quite a like thing where you get together with your friends, you socialize. It's you know, early, it's a late morning to early afternoon party.
I'm staying home, holed up in my apartment the whole day without departing. Chilling is my job and lounging is my department, and I do the gig with distinction. I'm usually out like a postman, rain, sleet, or snow, but this time, yo, I'm in like physicians. Doctor, who is what I'm watching? Brunch is what I'm eating, and very smoothies are what I'm drinking. And hell no, I ain't picking up my phone unless it's a social call. Telemarketers can step the fuck off. They're just wasting air time like whack radio. Lackadaisical is how I act, as if I had spare time or a broken leg. And I'm entertained whereby I'm peeping at my neighbors with binoculars, concocting a theory that the guy across the way ganked his wife. I might get my girl to check out the shite, since I'm not going out. That's the phrase you heard. Call me lazy, call me crazy, but my frame ain't stirred. Yo, I'm not going out. That's the latest word that was told. Play the role of the staying nerd. Yo, I'm not going out. That's the phrase you heard. Call me lazy, call me crazy, but my frame ain't stirred. Yo, I'm not going out. Complicated words for some. Let me put it then in layman's terms. I'm staying home. I wish I had my place set up like Hal Johnson, so I could have gear in the walls and start rocking. Shows in my kitchen, attacks right off, I send off to Neil Smith. And you watch online, it's me ripping right next to the fridge and stove got shit sizzling. You take it as a joke, I joke, but who's kidding? I got trout, you just got doubts and keep bitching. Mean girls found a torrent and downloaded it. Facebook alert just sounded, but I'm ignoring it, cause it's an invite to a party that probably starts at 12 and just stops by 2. I don't wanna be there to watch cocky guys lose out on scoring with girls, and I'm forced to buy brew at a premium price. I might sound like a shrew, but millionaires keep millions by saving the cash and not spending it on you. That's the phrase you heard. Call me lazy, call me crazy, but my frame ain't stirred. Yo, I'm not going out. That's the latest word that was told. Play the role of the staying nerd. Yo, I'm not going out. That's the phrase you heard. Call me lazy, call me crazy, but my frame ain't stirred. Yo, I'm not going out. Complicated words for some. Let me put it then in layman's terms.
On the couch with my feet up, relaxing, relaxing, all cool and all.
We ain't going nowhere. We ain't
going nowhere.
So let me break it down to sections for your slow folks.
I'm staying home like I work freelance. Asking my girl what you think of these pants. The soft things with drawstrings and rub the floor a lot, so don't get too close because you might get shot. The response to this, a quick poke in the ribs. That's what I get for trying to homeschool. Don't you know I'm trying to teach physics in between naps and raps. The occasional back rub and soaks in the bath. Yo, I'm not going out. Why is everybody laughing?
Now let's look at you a little bit as a rapper as you are, and not just a rapper. You're a producer, a DJ. Do you have a day job, or is music your life at the moment?
Music is my life, and yes, I have a day job.
Sucks.
No, it. You know what? It's fine, because you have these scenarios. In the last 10-15 years, where you have these. You have people like trying to eke out some sort of living in a society that makes it more and more difficult for you to express art and live comfortably within that society off the art. So for me, it's just sort of like the cost of living. You know what I mean? Mm. The exchange is that I get to do this art that I like, however I want to do it. I do try my best to consider certain factors, in doing what I'm doing. But at the same time, I don't really have to cater to anybody. You know, it's just I make some material, I put it out. You know, people are interested. That's great. They go for it. Other people are not so interested in it. You know, that's fine. They don't want to associate with what I'm doing because it doesn't fulfill their criteria. You know what I mean? But for me, doing this is like, I don't know, it's just in me. It's just in me to do it. And I have to say that there was a time when I was very interested in trying to do it and it alone. And that was a very stressful time. It turned out to be a very like counterproductive opportunity, like time for me. You know, it wasn't working for the music. There are things you have to think about all of a sudden that you didn't have to think about before, where it's like, oh, well, you've got to do this a certain way if you want so-and-so to take notice so that you can get paid more, you know? Mm. And I just feel like the way that was working out, it wasn't worth it, you know? It just wasn't worth it. So to be able to do, I feel like I'm in a good place right now where I get to do what I'm doing, you know, and the only sort of, I don't know if you want to call it a catch, the only catch to the day job situation, if we want to call it that, is touring, right? It's just the opportunity to do a bunch of shows in a bunch of places. That's the only thing that, you know, maybe sort of in the back of my head on a wish list is like, I wish maybe I had more time to do some touring on top of the work that I'm already doing now, like in terms of my art. But
yeah,
I don't know, I feel good. I feel like getting to that moment where it was difficult, you know, getting things done because I was trying to rely on this alone, you know, was not a great experience, but it was a good learning experience, right? Because it's just like, I feel like people will either learn a better way or some other way to try and do what they're doing without doing a day job thing per se, or being distracted by something else, you know, in life in another way, or they just accept that that's okay to do. It's okay to be in that situation where you have work to do in a different way that isn't just the music. But I also have varied interests, right? So for me, it really isn't just about music alone, but it is like the biggest thing.
Sure. And your biography here says that you've got international touring under your belt already. I mean, how far afield have you toured? Have you gigged?
Yeah, I've had some nice opportunities in the past to do some shows, you know, across the pond, so to speak, and do some shows in France and in the UK and get around a little bit, and that was great.
Mm. You know? When were you in the UK? Clearly, I've missed that.
It was a few years ago. I did some work with the Herbalizer, actually.
Ah, okay.
So it's a UK-based hip-hop band. They started in Twickenham. So
yeah, Rare Groove. And I know quite a bit about the Herbalizer because I actually interviewed Ghetto Socks when he was over here touring with the Herbalizer. Last year, November, I think, we sat and had breakfast and we had a chat and interviewed him for the show.
Nice. So yeah, it's, you know, they have an appreciation for Canadian rappers, I think, and what we're doing. So yeah, I had a chance to do some touring with those guys a few years back, and you
appear on their album There Were Seven, their most recent album, is that right?
Yeah, so I appeared on their last full release, so there's like a few tracks with me on them. On the Japanese release includes like a couple tracks that I'm on with those guys, as well as the lead track that we came up with, Game, Set, and Match. So just good opportunities to go out and do some shows and outside of your neighborhood. I mean, I've done a bunch of shows in the U.S. as well, and you know, just trying to do what I can when I can, you know what I mean? So.
On a track, I move it like Barry Allen. Without the chemicals and lightning, it's frightening how much of a gap is in between stuff I think's talent and pipe dreams that might be malice. But that's because I hate balance. When MC's on, I won't have it, cause that shit's too slow. I'm here to make crowds lose it faster. A conscious and old dukes a hazard. Episode, credible metaphors, never gonna let it go. Legible, emerald in its soul. Anyone who wants to listen, improbable about tough the mission, impossible to catch up. You're missing about 10 years worth of practice and performance. Need a personal trainer, speech therapist, and actor coach. All I need is a retainer, crowd awareness, and a band that rocks the most. To the point of disclaimers, deep warning, crucible than most convokes. Cause you ain't say much and talk about stuff that I just won't promote. No, like all that gold just might get stole if you show off for peers. Yeah. Know that watch you bought will be worth less than a year. Save your tax receipt so your shit won't be in arrears. But I'll take your spot since you forgot rest how you got here. Rookie veterans say they smash it, but they need to drop the racket, the slack. In this game called Pass to Face It, I'm serving the aces and it's game, set, and match. I don't know sports and yet I still score. But not with your date, cause I got one. A night with the mic, feel right as I talk some. Suave type shit, you can't resist, you'll wanna cop some. More by the end of the night, tell your friends it was awesome. A good time had by all and not even close to being cocky. My style's kinda off and it's all because it's sloppy. Then I'm getting off like the law could never stop me. Thermodynamics, physics of the ball, yo, they all just get hockey. Stick to the net, cause I rep my country awfully. Good in the wrong way, so I'll stay my ass off. Please down and pick another suckers, cause I'm not a motherfucker that holds anything down on the mic ever. Clever, for the sake of being it, cause the culture suffers. You'll see words from the last three bars of mine defines motherfucker, never clever, culture suffers. But the rookie veterans say they smash it, but they need to drop the racket, the slack. In this game called Pass to Face It, I'm serving the aces and it's game, set, and match. Rookie veterans say they smash it, but they need to drop the racket, the slack. In this game called Pass to Face It, I'm serving the aces and it's game, set, and match. Yo, I don't know sports and yet I still score. Somehow, some way, keep coming like Prince Poe and Pharaoh Macho. The principle is never stop, rocket fueling, and then I launch at a speed that no speed trap's gonna capture poor rappers. And I'm not friend to the finances, nope. Just to the fact that the lines get dissed. Yeah. Due to a lack of variety, society in its entirety must tidy songs all day quietly. That's I steal true sobriety. Retire, please, or just play fuck off. Like having sex in the dark, you're the pawn. That you play best, it's the stage, just right. We are no far with the art than me with the pawn. Not the tunes or liquid. Oh, wondering what the fuck is this? Yes. Answers next evolution, yes, I'm a mutant. Extra bone in this, wanna call them X-rays, you wanna. My god. I'll mail them, take them through slalom. To friends and sell them on eBay, I want my cut. Joke's over like a poultice, just corny a little bit too much. For my taste, check my space, might make 2 million friends, but not have 1% of talent. That is my point of view, like rapping is fun. This isn't Irby, you didn't even need to ask once. Rookie veterans say they smash it, but they need to drop the racket, the slack. In this game called Pass to Face It, I'm serving the aces and it's game, set, and match. Rookie veterans say they smash it, but they need to drop the racket, the slack. In this game called Pass to Face It, I'm serving the aces and it's game, set, and match. Yo, I don't know sports and yet I still score.
It's like this. It's like this.
You've worked with Word Burglar, who I've also met here in London when he was over, I think, again last year, maybe May time. We sat down and had a chat, and he instantly launched into G.I. Joe. You share a bit of a love for G.I. Joe as well?
Yes, that album, like I did the cuts on it, except for two songs. I you know, made an appearance on it. That album, in a way, was basically made for me. Like, I'm the audience for that Joe mixtape, because I'm fully aware of all the comments, like of all the jokes, of all the sort of the in jokes there. He's done a good job, I think, of referencing the TV show, like the cartoon, the comic books as well, like the old comic books and the new stuff to a slight degree. And I think he's done a good job putting it all together.
Yeah, well, I mean, I am no fan of, you know, I don't know anything about G.I. Joe. And I think, in fact, that's what Boogie was getting at when he was over here. He'd bought this action figure, and he was saying it's Action Force because you guys didn't have G.I. Joe, you had Action Force. And I didn't know what he was talking about. But the album, of course, is Welcome to Cobra Island. You know, I don't know anything about the subject matter, but I really enjoyed that album immensely. And the same can be said for your latest release, Bigger on the Inside, a Time Traveler's Mixtape. I know this is terrible for me to say being British, but I'm not a huge Doctor Who fan. But I really enjoyed the release. I really enjoyed the content. I've listened to it, you know, plenty of times since it came out. So yeah, similarities there. Let's move on to the Doctor Who thing, because it's obviously, you know, it's now, it's what's happening now. Who is your doctor from your childhood? Who is your definitive doctor?
I guess it's like everybody else, right? It's Tom Baker, because he was the longest running doctor, and he had very like interesting elements about his character, right? Like the scarf, of course, the super long scarf, the various companions that he had, that he traveled with. I know that Sarah Jane Smith had started with John Pertwee, with the previous Doctor, but really she spent most of her time traveling with Tom Baker. So I kind of feel like that was sort of the definitive.
He's the archetypal Doctor. He is the, you know, when you think of Doctor Who, I mean, I'm the same, because, you know, I'm of that age, that he was. I think probably just before my time, he was the Doctor that everybody knew, and then I think Peter Davison was the Doctor of my childhood. But Tom Baker, I mean, he's just got a charisma and a character about him that, you know, is something quite unique.
The irony, though, is a lot of the personality of the Doctors that followed really has a lot to do with the Second Doctor. Like, really, he was the one that sort of, the way that he was portrayed sort of set the mold for the other guys, because prior, like the first Doctor was a bit of a cranky misanthrope. He was a bit more like, he eventually mellows out over time, you know, to a degree, but really is just kind of like, especially in the first few serials, because they changed the writing later on, they just had him as a very sort of cranky old guy character that was the one sort of getting them into as much trouble as the bad guys. But then you have Doctor Number Two, who like all of a sudden is a bit more has a bit more of a stronger specific personality. Like, he's very absent-minded, but at the same time, it's like a combo of trickery plus true absent-mindedness. It's like sometimes he's pretending to be forgetful just so that he can lure somebody into a trap, and then sometimes he actually is like forgetting what's he was supposed to do or what was supposed to happen next, and very eccentric, you know. So it's just sort of like that's the character that everybody else is playing off of, you know, or is largely influenced by. That said, Tom Baker is the one that everybody like really knows, because he had the longest run. He was the Doctor for 8 years.
Yeah, and it was nice to see him come back in the Day of the Doctor, the special that was on.
Yes.
And what did you do for that? Did you have an event? Did you have a party? Did you go to the cinema? A lot of people did.
I originally was planning to go to the cinema, but then I got invited to appear on the Space Channel, which is like a very specific sci-fi TV station in Canada that films in Toronto. And so they actually had a pre-show and a post-show for the event, like for the show. So it was broadcast. It was a simulcast to their station.
Right.
I appeared on national TV playing with my music playing in the background while they did some interviews with some, you know, pundits, some experts, that sort of thing. They talked to me. We watched the show. So I got to watch it like live in a studio.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool. Did you also see the documentary on the first Doctor? I think it was called Adventures in Space and Time, or Time and Space. Did you see that about William Hartnell?
I did.
And were you touched by that?
For the most part, I find that sometimes TV special style, like documentaries like that, sometimes fall short at the end of the whole thing. I felt like and hopefully I'm not giving away anything here, so spoilers, close your ears, don't listen to the rest of this part for 30 seconds, but I felt like the appearance of Matt Smith at the end of that was like too much. It was like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, Twitter went a bit mad after that. There was a lot of negative reaction to it. I don't know. As somebody who's not a massive fan, but you know, did tune into that because of all the hype surrounding it, I wasn't offended. I'll be honest, I didn't really notice either.
Well, I do understand why they did it, because I realize that, you know, partly they're trying to capitalize, and I'm doing bunny quotes when I say that, trying to capitalize on the popularity of their current series, right? And he is the face of their current series, at least until Peter Capaldi shows up. And so I get that. They want to maintain that. They want instant recognition for their fans that, you know, have never watched the old series. And so it was nice that they did that documentary, because then it's sort of like a window into the whole thing and how it started for anybody who has not watched any of the previous episodes from you know, the rest of the series. But I don't know. It's like someone asked me the other day on Facebook about, like, you know, I'm thinking about getting into like the older stuff. Like, should I do it? And the answer is hell yes. Like, watch some of the older episodes, like series, watch Ark in Space, you know, which starred Tom Baker. Just, you know, it's like, get into some of the older stuff to understand some of the references that are made in the current series to previous things with the Daleks and the Cybermen. You know, like a lot of it is perhaps a bit of navel gazing, or, you know, like little like Easter eggs for those of us that have watched the previous series, and really devil may care. But I feel like it's part of it. It's like what makes a 50-year show, you know, interesting and worth it. It's like, for sure, a show that's 50 years old should reference things that happened in episodes like 40 years ago, 30 years ago. Like, absolutely. Because you don't get that opportunity with a show that's 5 years old, right? Like, you don't. So, like, do it. Take advantage of that, you know? So I feel like more people should be watching older episodes to get a better idea. Like, if they have interest in it, you know? It's like, this is not a mandate. Like, you know, everybody should watch Doctor Who. It is, so be it. But like, I'm just saying, like, if anyone has interest, you know, in the current series, like, watch some of that old stuff. If nothing else, to laugh at the special effects, because
some of it's pretty ropey.
Some of it is, like, even at the time, if you coming back to that like TV faux documentary thing, like, they even are talking about it in that show, right? Like, the series used to be cut, like, it's a sci-fi show that used to be cut like a soap opera. Bad news, man, because you're trying to shoot, like, you're trying to get people's reactions to things. They're trying to respond to situations, and they're cutting cameras. And who knows, like, they might have missed a good moment from somebody, like from an actor, because they had to cut away to what somebody else was saying. You know, like the stuff isn't planned out like it is now. But, I mean, that's just what TV was at the time, right? It's just not the same now.
The sucker works. Nope, they suck, it works.
It wasn't my fault. I set the navigation perfectly to take us back from Pangaea 100,000 BCE to Shoreditch, London, 23rd of November 1963. And not the desolate future planet where we were actually stranded. When we landed, I blamed it on the mercury-filled fluid link. So complicated 20th century humans didn't know who to think was more to blame for bad directions, me or the machine. Yeah. Traveling through time and space and places in between is recondite, sophisticated, convoluted business. Especially with a decommissioned capsule lacking the fitness to make trips as planned. Plus, I'm only one man running a ship that needs a crew of six pilots to command. And I don't mean companions, I prefer to do the flying. I mean dematerialization, automation's not complying. I've seen the greatest computers malfunction and break. That's why Time Lords made them sentient. The biggest mistake is letting them have any kind of say in all decisions you make. You know you want to get to Sheffield 1979. Of course you end up in the 1879 Scottish Moors or forever lost. Trying to get to Heathrow Airport to sort your gobby Aussie friend out with a job. Navigating the vortex to Vegas 83 shouldn't be hard, but there you are in a Russian sub, has his on, TARDIS gone. Warrior from Mars and thought you don't even get to play the slot. Vanish quickly so you don't believe what you saw. Sounded creaky like a car that needs some new shocks. And run by the sky who's sillier than you thought. It's just the madman in his magic blue box. Vanish quickly so you don't believe what you saw. Sounded creaky like a car that needs some new shocks. And run by the sky who's sillier than you thought. It's just the madman in his magic blue box. Can a Time Lord catch a break after I had to regenerate a tested ship fitness? Thought it'd be 2 minutes, was a few years late by mistake. What? 12 to be exact, I came back, the whole world was at stake. Thanks to giant morphin' snake and overeager space cops. A little girl was grown up by the time I showed up, faced lots of distrust and it sucked, but Earth needed saving. Just a hiccup that glitched up the chronal navigation is how I came late. No debate that coordinates for space sometimes get messed up. Yes, I confess up that South Croydon, UK is nowhere next to Aberdeen. Just a slight inaccuracy, considering the galaxy alone. Okay, the planet data miner in the future. Instead of 75 London is the kind of mistake that suits a bumbling oaf. What I mean though is I don't make that kind of error. What I mean is hardly ever. Well, at least for a guy with Jenner. Vanish quickly so you don't believe what you saw. Sounded creaky like a car that needs some new shocks. And run by the sky who's sillier than you thought. It's just the madman in his magic blue box. Vanish quickly so you don't believe what you saw. Sounded creaky like a car that needs some new shocks. And run by the sky who's sillier than you thought. It's just the madman in his magic blue box.
Might be stuck in space. In the wrong place.
Rackety old dog.
Hope the sucker works. Break down.
Won't work.
Might be stuck in space.
Rackety old dog.
Never come close to
the place to be.
Won't work. I don't think you realize how temperamental that machine is.
The interesting thing for me, I was watching a bunch of episodes, of course, to, you know, try and double check some things that I was writing about to make sure I wasn't just, you know, remembering things incorrectly or whatever when I was making songs. And it was interesting because it's a show about traveling through time and space, you know, to watch it in the wrong order. To watch things in like okay, I watched, you know, David Tennant, you know, some episodes with David Tennant, and then I watched some episodes with Tom Baker, and then I watched some episodes with Peter Davison, and then I watched some episodes with Patrick Troughton. Like, it just got weird.
How did you go about condensing that much, that mass of material into a 10-track EP, album, mixtape? What do you call it? What do you categorize it as?
It kind of is just an album, but, you know, it's I released it for free, so, you know, whatever. We call it a mixtape. It's all good. But yeah, I just... It was kind of insane, like trying to not so much condense, but refer to as many interesting, useful things, like interesting for the audience, useful to the story that I was trying to tell in a particular song, you know? So with a song like, let's say, for example, Magic Blue Box, I really was trying to deliver a song about, you know, this, how he's perceived, how the Doctor is perceived by other people, by some other people, is like this crazy, like Willy Wonka-esque lunatic in a magic blue box, because it's bigger on the inside and it travels through space and time and goes to weird places, and he's eccentric himself and wears weird outfits and encounters all these strange things that happen in the world. And even with aliens, like evil aliens as serious as the Daleks, because they're all just about the extermination of other species, he's still like kind of goofy with the whole dealing with the whole thing, right? So it was interesting trying with that song to get across the goofiness through certain situate, like with referring to certain scenarios that have happened in Doctor Who episodes, and then and address also the weirdness of bouncing between different time zones, like or time periods, and him messing it up, like trying to get to Vegas in 1983. You're just like, why specifically 1983? You know, but him ending up in a Russian sub, it's weird. It would be weird. I feel like it would be weird to write. Like, how do you sort of get that across? Because it's partly sentient. The TARDIS kind of took him where he needed to be, right? Mm-hmm. It would explain why this guy happens to travel everywhere he happens to travel. There's a problem, and he fixes it. Like, he's in there at the right time to fix whatever problem has arisen.
And we touched on this just slightly just before the show, and that you put the information out there on the Nerd Call Me Out podcast. But let's quickly describe exactly what a TARDIS is for anybody that might not know. Not a TARDIS, exactly, a police box of which the TARDIS has the form of. Do you want to take that? Can you?
Sure. Well, and then there were other things that I didn't mention in that other podcast as well. So basically, the deal is with the show, because those guys that I talked to didn't understand what a police box was, right? Like, they just didn't get it. So, I mean, it's an iconic British symbol, right? Was the implication when they made the series? They were like, well, we want something that's sort of iconic, like very British, that doesn't really exist anywhere else. And they're like, okay, well, the police box, it's still got a structure, a form to it that you could walk into it, right? So imagine walking into something that should be a closet and ends up being like this giant space, right? It's the first magical, weird thing about Doctor Who, because, you know, up to that point, spaceships, like sci-fi, to travel was very sort of straightforward and typical, right? Like, that people would fly in ships that were similar to airplanes. They had a similar structure. They were going forward. Maybe they would go up as well. Like, they'd be vertical. They could fly vertically as well as horizontally, but that was it. But there you have this thing that you walk into, and it's bigger on the inside. Like, it's this huge space, and it just disappears. Like, that all does disappear and reappear somewhere else. Like, it's to some people that may not seem as exciting as an airplane or spaceship or something, but it was a very unique, interesting thing. And that's partly what got me. So then the police box aspect is that it's like a police box used to be this thing that existed in the 60s and 70s, my understanding, or 50s, 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Maybe they stopped using them in the 70s. That police would use if you were driving somewhere in the middle of nowhere. There's parts of the UK that are just countryside. You're stuck somewhere. You needed help. Well, in the 60s, there's no cell phone. So how are you getting assistance? And if you're out in the middle of nowhere, there's no payphone either. So they would have these police boxes on the side of the road, which in theory, you know, someone could use to call for help. The police would use them if they're in a situation out in the middle of nowhere with, you know, a criminal. They'd lock him in the police box, which I find the most amusing, that like they would push him there and lock it and use it as a jail. And just be like, okay, you stay here until, you know, we get a police truck or something to come and cars in it to take you away. Like, it's so funny. And then just became a thing. And the idea, of course, was that the TARDIS would be able to change its shape and its form, and had what was called a chameleon circuit. And that the idea here is that the TARDIS had a damaged chameleon circuit that the Doctor would either not repair, he just kind of forget about it and choose not to repair it, or he would try and it would just fail miserably. It's interesting that, like, this guy who's so smart and would brag about how smart he is would never be able to fix the thing.
It was a Type 40, Mark 3, T-A-R-D-I-S, awfully gorgeous, called me to her to leave my home world, and I could not resist, so I said goodbye to boredom. Started her up, started exploring the universe, time and space, because the ship can do the two of them. Alien race that I'm a part of's into ruling them. Well, more like overseeing. That was my problem, being unable to experience anything due to non-interference, not in the spirit of living. So my mission, live life to the fullest, easily accomplished with this magic trick I'm pulling. All regeneration, recover from any fatal wound. My personality changes with my appearance too, from holding a walking stick to a recorder playing tunes. Reversing polarity flows, wearing a scarf 6 meters too long. Real strong, cricket game, sneaky plan too fantastic to simply say allons-y-too. Ramble everywhere and get into trouble quite swiftly. For 900 years of adventure, but feels like 50. My ship travels through space and time, and is bigger on the inside. My ship travels through space and time, and is bigger on the inside. My small ship travels through space and time, and is bigger on the inside. My ship travels through space and time, and is bigger, 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 bigger. Due to transdimensional physics, I'm planning to visit every possible world if I'm given the opportunity. But the one I see most often is Earth. Of all the ones aliens want to take over, it's the first on their list. And since time can be rewritten, I will fight to keep a heart and time peace ticking. With no guns, no fun for some. Me, I'd rather use my brain, two hearts and sonic screwdriver to kill no one. Show up, not always where I want to go, but need to go. Even though I set the correct coordinates, a subordinate machine stumble upon a scene, reveal an evil scheme, topple the whole regime. Just in time for tea at breakfast, cause it's a time machine, you never have to wait for breakfast. Less I stress it, yes it's best if you let me drive. A causal nexus wrecked is cause to get upset with Reaper's next to flex. Since my ship travels through space and time, and is bigger on the inside. My ship travels through space and time, and is bigger on the inside. My small ship travels through space and time, and is bigger on the inside. And is bigger on the inside, and is bigger on the inside. Time Lord Renegade from the planet Gallifrey, always on the run escape. Death traps and left back, aliens on Earth could save. But usually press a human again, a companion traveling with me. Stay in that old ship that disguises a police box made on 20th century reflections. Chameleon circuit is to blame. Yes, that's just left at the phone forever and ever. The better the whole of space and never surrounded. The cosmic infinite matter than man, a giant salt and pepper shake. It's great that they never got into the ship, cause the TARDIS state of grace is always on the fritz. And the Eye of Harmony getting ripped open is a hitch nobody wants. Every sun exploding stops a lot of stuff from happening. Run a ship, but not the captain. A doctor, the man who makes people better, don't bother to ask for my name, it'll never be spoken. Better off to ask if it's cool to wear a fez. The answer is yes. My ship travels through space and time, and is bigger on the inside. My ship travels through space and time, and is bigger on the inside. My small ship travels through space and time, and is bigger on the inside. And is bigger on the inside. And is bigger on the inside.
A couple episodes they tried in the 80s to get rid of the police box altogether. They actually tried to ditch it, and that lasted one series of four episodes, and that was it, because people just like associate it with Doctor Who.
It's so iconic, isn't it? They actually tried to bring them back in the 90s, I think, mid to late 90s. They started bringing them into London, into, you know, built up very urban areas, and the idea was that it would form a place where, again, policemen could use as a central point of contact. They could get internet, they could and contact the station or seek assistance, or people could get assistance, but also they contained CCTV. And there is still one in existence, possibly the only one, which was the trial one. So there is actually a police box outside of Earl's Court tube station, which, if you go to Google Maps, if you go to Street View and search for this, the Earl's Court TARDIS, you can find it, and you can actually go inside. And when you click inside, it is actually the inside of the TARDIS, which is quite a nice touch.
Yeah, I saw that. That's it's pretty cool. I saw a little AR that someone's built. So it's a mini replica of the TARDIS that just has like a card placed inside it. So when you hover your phone, your smartphone, with the camera and the AR app over it, it shows you the inside of the TARDIS.
That's cool. Yeah, nice. So getting back to the mixtape, So 10 tracks. Of all the tracks on there, which one really strikes a chord with you? Which is your favorite track of the release?
Oh man, that's a tough call. It's I feel like a proud dad. It's like I love all my kids for different reasons. I would say, I don't know, it's a tough call. These days, the songs that are sort of exciting me the most for whatever reasons, I would say Get Exterminated, just the cuts at the end. I'm happy with how they turned out. It just adds to the whole thing. And big ups to Mr. E, who is a producer from Waterloo, Ontario in Canada, who just made that beat. And it's a really dope one. I'm, you know, glad how that turned out. I don't know, these days, I guess Bigger Regeneration, just the remix at the end of Bigger on the inside of the title song, just because I really took a different approach with the track, still tried to maintain, you know, a similar style with the beat, of course, to match my delivery. But I really just tried to do something sort of as grandiose, perhaps, as the title song. Mm. And has a whole bunch of cuts at the end. So, yeah, that's... those are the ones that I guess are hitting me most at the moment, but I am happy with how the album's turned out and how people are appreciating it. It's been great. Just really appreciate how Doctor Who fans have heard it have, you know, come to appreciate the work. So
now, exterminate. The weaponry is
the underground of a burnt out planet known as Starro. The birth occurred of a great evil we will see terrorize tomorrow. Yeah. A mutant form of humanoid due to generations of fighting with chemicals, radiation, accommodation, when abominations of science by the chief scientists of the Colored People. Yeah. In a conflict with the Vows that lasted for about a Vow. With no clear winner, just a Vow. Pumped Atlanta fight over Vow. To end the planetary conflict and be locked into a tank that'll wipe you out. Yeah. It's the Mark III travel machine, equipped with a death ray and polycarbonate armor that's hard to scratch, let alone penetrate, to make the mutants killers all useful. Full emotions, but the hate will remove and accelerate their evolution and get the name Dalek. An anagram of the word Khaled and Khaled led debate on whether or not these mutants should live, but the meaning was just some bait to kill opposition, not listen to even the creator. Just take the whole universe, you'll hear the words. Conquering your planet with no way for you to withstand it. Or creatures from another world that are more horrible than you could imagine. You could try to fight back.
Get exterminated.
I think you might last.
Get exterminated.
Conquering your planet with no way for you to withstand it. Or creatures from another world that are more horrible than you could imagine. You could try to fight back.
Get exterminated.
I think you might last.
Get exterminated.
2157, they descended from sky on planet Earth. The defenses weren't effective in 7 years. Took every last resource, one after the other. Trouble for the human risk and safe was not in the cards at the start. Turned a lot of people into slaves that were named
Problem Man.
Forced to do their bidding, drilling the Earth to make it into a weapon and not the first planet to get that, but they got jerked by an old man. Three companions damaged all their planes, but managed having a second go at the scenario that was to kidnap lots of planets. And it was done all over time and space. They made plans bolder, teamed up with the maker to make a bomb to blow up all reality. Savagery mixed with science and tragedy for uncountable battle. The Time Lords, what kind of audacity? Daleks have, but it ends badly. The Time War got locked to save the universe from madness and the awesome onslaught of evil unleashed by cunning creatures that simply seek to be the dominant species by killing each and every one of us to beat it. Conquering your planet with no way for you to withstand it. Or creatures from another world that are more horrible than you could imagine. You could try to fight back.
Get exterminated.
I think you might last.
Get exterminated.
Conquering your planet with no way for you to withstand it. Or creatures from another world that are more horrible than you could imagine. You could try to fight back.
Get exterminated.
I think you might last.
Get exterminated.
Stop aliens.
No man is safe from
freakish beasts.
They make your blood stop flowing.
Freakish beasts
make your blood stop.
Stop aliens.
No man is safe from
freakish beasts.
Make your blood stop flowing.
Killing everybody in sight.
One for your life.
No man is safe.
We've got to give shouts to the other producers on the mixtape as well. Paul Chin and my boy Milk Plus, who's pretty much a neighbour of mine, lives minutes away.
Plus is dope. That we had a discussion just about a few things with that. You know, it's like the greediness in me, like the rap, the greedy rap producer, rapper guy in me wants like more. I'm like I want more songs. Let's make more songs. We'll make more dope songs for this thing. But you know, there's just like between the time that it takes, the time I needed to get it out, and so I'm glad at the way it turned out. But I just like working with those guys was good. Big ups to Paul Chin as well, who sort of came through in the clutch with that beat for the 10th Planet. That was actually like the last track that we did for the album, just sort of the 11th hour that one got finished. But glad it made it. It was good.
And of course, there's plenty more music for More or Less on the net. You've got a number of other releases to choose from. You've got your last album, Mastication, of course, and then there's the Museum of Indulgence and Mastication EP, Brunch with a Vengeance, bringing back the brunch theme, More or Less, and Fresh Kills, the Less Kills EP, and The Truth About Rap. So plenty of More or Less out there to listen to. But what can we expect coming up in the future?
Well, working on a few things, doing a bunch of work with the rest of my compatriots from Backburner. We've got a bunch of things coming up soon. So I can't say exact dates because, you know, it's all just some of it's still being like a bunch of things are still being worked on. But I can safely say that there will be a second Backburner album, which is like all of us on there, myself, Toolshed, Swamp Thing, Word Burglar, Ghetto Sox, Jesse Dangerously, Thesis Sahib. The list goes and goes. Mr. E, Fresh Kills, Uncle Fester doing cuts. I'm forgetting people. That's not good. But there's a lot of us. There's a lot of us doing things. And so that Backburner album is a combo of all of us just spitting it. And I'm very like it's not quite done. There's still a bit of stuff to do on it. But man, I'm looking forward to that one because I think everyone, there's more cohesion with that album this time. It wasn't just a bunch of us doing whatever we had and coming together. This was like we got together, we worked on this thing. Like I'm looking forward to that when it gets finished and comes out. That'll be dope. My most sort of immediate thing that I'm coming out with, there's going to be a collaborative project I'm doing with a DJ producer known as Record Face. So Record Face and I are coming out with an EP called Postmillennial Tension. So it's going to be about life in first world 21st century and the weirdness that surrounds that, like, just, you know, you walk outside your door, do you notice that everyone just walks around with their head down into their hand because they're looking at a smartphone? Like, the internet's a weird thing. Like, people need to go on vacation more. Like, I'm tackling a bunch of different stuff on that. So Postmillennial Tension, that'll be coming out in 2014. So definitely people should look out for that. And then just doing some other work with other MCs. A lot of it, again, still in the works. Big ups to the Mighty Rhino. I'm making an appearance on his album. The Word Burglar and I are getting together to work on stuff. Don't know when exactly that will be coming out, what form that will take, but we are starting the process.
Great. I'm looking forward to all of that. And, you know, in particular, I'm a massive fan of Word Burglar. He's going to be a future guest on the show. Again, the Nerdcore Meow guys nicked him just before me. So we've postponed till the new year, but hopefully we'll have some more news on that project after Christmas and into the new year. I have to mention, you were Aux.tv, 7 Canadian Rappers You Need to Hear. You were included in that. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that was great. Just, you know, the you know, whatever, however people feel like they appreciate the music and stuff, man, I'm good with that. I appreciate that, by all means, just, you know, cause like, honestly, you could be doing whatever you want. You know what I mean? You could be just playing video games and, you know, whatever, but people taking the time and the interest to listen to what I'm doing is great. You know, just, hoping to come out with more material that people can appreciate and just, you know, more, just trying to do some more things. Got some more, like, I'm, you know, more interested in doing some other things as well, like working on some music, just without lyrics, that kind of stuff. Get my production game up a bit more, you know, doing some work with some other people, that kind of thing. So yeah, looking forward to all of it. It's all very, very interesting and very exciting. As you know, we're figuring these things out, just doing more art.
Cool. And before we leave, do you want to tell people where they can find you on the internet?
Absolutely. So my name is More or Less, spelled with one S. You can find me everywhere. I'm on Twitter. My handle there is Brunch or Less, which is kind of funny. There is somebody out there with a More or Less as their Twitter name, but he actually, on his page, it says to if you want to talk to this guy, More or Less the rapper, you need to go here. So that's pretty hilarious. So Brunch or Less on Twitter is the handle. I've got a Facebook fan page. You can find me on YouTube, my own website, moreorless.ca, Bandcamp, iTunes, you know, someone's torrenting something right now as we speak. Just, you know,
it's a cheek of it. How dare they? That's good. It's all good. I think you know you were making an impact if someone's torrenting your work.
Absolutely. I'm like, someone told me one day, they're like, yo man, I don't know if you want to know about this, but someone was torrenting your album. And I was like, yes. snap. Dang.
Made it. It's been an honor talking to you, sir. This has been an interview quite literally across time and space, via the wonders of Skype. So many thanks for joining me, and you will of course be welcome back anytime, sir. Thank you.
Deal. And one quick shout out to Bryn Griffiths, who is a dope producer from the UK. He does work out of, I forget, he's near London. I know that. So big ups to Bryn. He's got, him and I worked together on some beats. I'm hoping we'll get to do some more work together in the future. And yeah, shouts to everybody.
Yeah, and Thomas Quinlan, Doogie Howitz there as well for hooking this up. So he's a good man. He's a friend of the show and friend of the site. Actually been on our movie show, harassing me about the Evil Dead. But yeah, props to him.
It's more or less a word heard up in the spot with the speakers turned on and the mics are hot. We got people in the place who came to rock. And yo, let your bird. What's the time on your watch? Prime the clock. We all up in the spot with the speakers turned on and the mics are hot. We got people in the place who came to rock. Yo, bird. Yo, Les, what's the time on your watch?
Rhyme o'clock. We melt minds like Spock. Bubbling like Coronas when a lime is dropped. In the wild making noise like when pines get chopped. Moving heads like ladies whose behinds are hot. Designed to rock. Co-sign with props and an affidavit stating we define the spot. So why not bring on the next hype bringer? We take him out the ring like your ex-wife's finger.
Bigger pain in the ass than having bet. But I'm itching to get in the track so cats forget some. Lukewarm radio path that's taking your cap for thinking as a flattened Stetson. Shallow, proceed with showtime at the gallows. To gallow, you roast like pink or Clark battles. Metallo, don't keep your comics round me. True reader for real, ask Word Bergie.
It's more or less a word bird up in the spot with the speakers turned on. And the mics are hot. We got people in the place who came to rock. And yo, let your bird. What's the time on your watch? 5 o'clock. We all up in the spot with the speakers turned on and the mics are hot. We got people in the place who came to rock. Yo, bird. Yo, Les, what's the time on your watch?
5 o'clock. Greenwich Mean, top notch digital. Wait, kids, talks, weak, slop, songs, pitiful. Gag me with spoon, bark, knock,
minimal. Claggy and 6-2, all y'all syllables. Stay simple for the safest sibilant syllabus. For the simian serious, motherfucker, I rhyme. Keep it bumping like a big building is building it. With the burden, the business, you bridesmaids aren't brides. We're married to the flow.
Halifax to Orlando, run the millennium like Han Orlando.
Is that word, brother?
Yeah, you know it, fam. And I'm down with Sharon like Lois and Bram. Goddamn! Spread new dope rhymes all over the streets like Ed 209. Then we take it national like Peter Mansbridge and eat all the food in your grand fridge.
Not now, but right now. Checking your watch. Never ask me what time it is.
When is it?
Not now, but right now.
Takes more than rhymes to rock this.
When is it?
Not now, but right now.
Checking your watch.
Never ask me what time it is.
When is it?
Not now, but right now.
Takes more than rhymes to rock this.
This time. One for the trouble. Two for the time. I'm about to wake up. Check.
Rhyme o'clock. Are you hurting stress? Cause Berg and Les will make your burden less.
For sure, with fresh kills, it's lightning or broken. Beat time on time like the son of Odin.
The super villains, forget Loki and Red Skull. We leave you more blue than a depressed Brett Hull.
Whole breach to your ego, see no evil. Peanuts like bald people feeding beagles.
You'll be needing needles for your DJ to scratch this.
Never sell out,
but we're always on the backlist.
Gotta re-up
before we get torrented.
Haters gonna hate,
but it's really unwarranted.
Yo, you want some more of this?
Yeah.
Good.
We knew there was a reason we came up to your hood.
To rock it nonstop,
keep it hot on stage, and we
do it big time like the clock on Flame.
It's more or less a word bird up in the spot with the speakers turned on and the mics are hot. We got people in the place who came to rock.
And yo, let
yo bird. What's the time on your watch? 5 o'clock. We all up in the spot with the speakers turned on and the mics are hot. We got people in the place who came to rock. Yo, bird.
Yo, Les, what's the time on your watch?
When is it?
Not now, but right now.
Checking your watch.
Never ask me what time it is.
When is it?
Not now, but right now.
Takes more than rhymes to rock this.
Unheardnerd.com.